in this third chapter entitled Karma Yoga, Lord Krishna, from text 17 onwards, has been describing the situation of a self-realized person, and gradually he has contrasted him with a person who is not self-realized. One of the characteristics of the self-realized person is that he is detached from the fruits of his action, knowing fully well the results of being attached to the fruits. One in ignorance does not understand this. He works with attachment to the fruits of his actions. Now both these externally may appear to be very similar, but actually there is a gulf of difference between them. So therefore, from verse 17 onwards till text 29, Lord Krishna is contrasting the two. And we have seen also, earlier Lord Krishna has explained that it is necessary for a self-realized person to perform prescribed duties even though he is not obliged to do so, simply for the sake of setting an example to the rest of the world. Otherwise, people would follow in their footsteps even though they were not qualified to do so. And Krishna explains that even he sets the example when he descends into this world and performs prescribed duties just like any other human being normally ought to do. Then Lord Krishna goes on to say that just as an attached person is working in this world, similarly a detached man must also work, but being detached. Also, but when the detached person sees the attached person working, he should not unduly disturb him and ask him or encourage him to renounce. Rather, he should engage that person in positive acts of devotion to the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, which will gradually uplift his consciousness. And in this way that other person also can become purified. And then later on, Lord Krishna has described the thinking of the ignorant person who is attached to the fruits of his action. Such a person thinks himself to be the doer of all actions, not understanding that actions are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature, and that he is more or less like a puppet in the hands of material nature. And in text 28 and 29, again, the difference between the attached and the detached worker has been highlighted. Last time, we concluded with text 28, where Lord Krishna says, Tattva vittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajjate. He says the one who is in knowledge does not engage himself in works of sense gratification that are meant simply for bodily pleasure. And he understands fully well the difference between work in devotion and work for sense gratification. Now, actually, work in devotion is a much superior activity because of the results that it produces. Number one, it produces detachment from the fruits of one's action. It makes us free from the cycle of karma. But more than that, it gives us love of God, which is the ultimate goal of life. And also, it gives us great happiness. Now, all of us have experience that it is pleasurable to work out of love than out of some selfish motive. The businessman may be working for a material motive in his business to get some money. And when he gets money, he may get some kind of happiness, especially if he is making a lot of profit. and money is pouring in, he gets happiness. But the same businessman, when he is enjoying some other relationships of love with people who are near and dear to him, then that gives him more happiness. So when one works out of love, it is a superior kind of work than working out of greed or out of some selfish motive. Nowadays we find that in the world, negative forces are driving people to act in certain ways. People are acting out of envy, out of anger, out of hatred, out of greed, out of lust, out of ignorance. One country is envious of the other. One community hates another community. And people are greedy for obtaining more and more money and so on and so forth. So the motivation for the work of most people in this world is negative. And when the motivation is negative, the results can never be auspicious for humanity or for the world. Therefore, we are seeing that such work is having such a degrading effect, such a bad effect on the world at large. But when one works out of love, then we can see it will transform the world into a heavenly place, a spiritual abode. That is why the devotees of the Lord are required. That is why people who work with devotion for the Lord are required. Because one who is working with devotion for the Lord automatically becomes selfless. That person works only for the welfare of others, not considering his own convenience or inconvenience. And therefore, such a person is able to really provide some benefit to the people of this world. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been mentioned, Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. This is a very important verse because it outlines that the highest dharma, the highest religion for all humanity is the path of bhakti. It is the path of love. The path of loving devotional service offered to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. This path of love or devotion to God should be for best effect rendered without any motive. It should be uninterrupted, ahaituki apratihata, if it is to fully satisfy the self. Yayatma suprasidati. So if someone is genuinely rendering devotional service to the Lord in this mood, then his very soul becomes satisfied. Yayatma, yayatma suprasidati. Prasidati means becomes happy, and suprasidati means become very happy. So this is the formula for becoming happy. People are seeking happiness on the platform of the body and the mind. But the mind is a very flickering platform for any kind of thing. Today you are feeling happy about something or about someone. Tomorrow you are unhappy about that thing or that person. Have you experienced in your life? Let's say you have an employee in your company or your shop or your factory. Or let us say that you are an employee in somebody else's thing and you have a boss. Sometimes you may think, oh, such a nice employee, such a nice boss, such a nice friend, such a nice whatever it may be. But sometimes you change. Oh no, not so nice. Then again you change. Sankalpo vikalpo manaha. This is the platform of the mind. The happiness and distress of the mind is always changing, never steady. Mano rathe nasati dhavato bahi. Srimad Bhagavatam says the mind is like a chariot that is always moving. And the moment you rely on the mind for your happiness, then you are always going to be running here and running there in that unsteady chariot. You will never be stable. You will never find lasting, sustaining happiness. When you try for happiness on the platform of the body, the mind, the intelligence, the various categories of people in life, some are very gross. They are only concerned with gross physical pleasures. There are others who are a little more refined. They look for more subtler things like some emotional relationship where they can find some happiness. There are others who are a little more refined. They look for happiness in some intellectual pursuit. Maybe writing some poetry or some philosophy or something like that, they will find great happiness in that. But ultimately, whether it is the body, mind or the intelligence, it is all material. It is all temporary. Happiness on all these platforms cannot sustain. And it cannot give us the real happiness that we are all seeking in life. But in this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are hearing of a happiness that is something quite different from the happiness that is talked about and sought for in this world. That is the happiness of the Atma, of the soul. The soul by nature is happy, blissful, sat chit ananda. But the soul is covered over by ignorance. When we start serving the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, then that covering of ignorance is slowly uncovered, it is destroyed. And therefore, the happiness that is already there within our heart as a basic inseparable quality of the Atma, then it manifests. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoye Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaya Udaye. So it has been explained in the Shastra that Krishna Prema, Krishna Bhakti, pure love, pure happiness is lying dormant in the heart of every living being. And the only thing that we have to do is to just awaken it, that's all. Happiness is not something artificial to be acquired from somewhere outside of yourself. Happiness is already within all of us. And all we have to do is awaken that. And this awakening process is called Bhakti Yoga. Shravan Adi. And it starts with the process of hearing and chanting about the Lord, glorifying Him and His holy names and so on. And there are so many other forms of devotional service that one can do. So when one starts performing these activities, which are called bhajana kriya, then gradually the heart becomes purified and this real love, real happiness from the heart, which is the Atma, it manifests. So this is the fruit of actually working for love of God and not for money or sense gratification. Someone may say, well, I am working for the love of my family, for the love of my society, for the love of my country, for the love of humanity, for the love of all living beings. Is that not enough to give me happiness? No. Because that is also on the material platform. That is also on the platform of the body, mind and intellect. We see these relationships only because of my bodily connection with them. But these things are not spiritual. Even they will not give us complete happiness. Prabhupada gave the example many times of Mahatma Gandhi. He served the country like nobody else can serve. But ultimately, he died a very unhappy man. And the very people that he worked all his life, struggled all his life for, one of them shot him dead. This often happens in the material world. Even in family relationships, in relatives, amongst friends, in society. We work hard for somebody, we do so much for that person, and then that person doesn't appreciate, and we feel very disheartened. So, material service on whatever platform is always disheartening at the end. And ultimately, death will destroy all this service and whatever love and affection that it has produced. So therefore, any service or any love, apart from love of God, is not true love. It cannot bring true happiness to us. It is only when we work out of love for God that actually we can experience real happiness. This and this alone is real love. Nothing else in this world can be called a real love. It is simply a perverted reflection of that love. So here, Lord Krishna is saying in text 28 that actually the person who is wise works out of devotion for the Lord, and he fully knows that if he works for sense gratification, what will be the result? So therefore, Krishna is advising everybody that he should work as a detached person and not become bewildered by the modes. Such a person understands, a wise person understands, I have nothing to do with these three modes of nature, sattva-guna, rajagun, tamagun. I have no connection with them. And therefore he acts in that spirit. And what about a person who doesn't understand this? If a person, it is so easy to understand that we are products of the gunas, we are not products of the gunas, we have nothing to do with them, then why does a person act in an attached manner? Why does he act on the material platform? That is answered in text 29. So let us all chant together text 29. Prakritir guna sammoodhah Sajjante guna karmasu Tan akritsna vidho mandan Kritsna vinna vichalayet. Translation: bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So here Lord Krishna is explaining, as if in answer to the question, that if the soul is separate from matter, has nothing to do with the three modes of material nature, then why does he act with attachment to the sense objects? Why does he act simply for worldly pleasure when he knows that these, when he understands, or when he is capable of understanding that these things cannot give pleasure? So the answer is given here. Prakritir guna sammoodhah. Sammoodha means bewilderment. Guna means the three modes of material nature. So the answer to that question is, because he is thoroughly bewildered by the three modes of material nature. Lord Krishna is a supreme magician, and he plays his magic through the three modes of material nature. He manipulates, he is like a master puppeteer, and we are all victims of his magic. The soul that is pure, that has nothing to do with matter, imagines itself to be matter. And dreams of so many different things. I am a king, I am this, I am engineer, I am doctor, I am lady, I am man, I am old, I am young, I am cat, I am dog, I am human. All these are dreams. And by the magic of Lord Krishna's material energy, sattva-guna, rajagun, tamagun, each one of us is imagining so many things. It is explained that all the pleasures and distresses of this world, all the relationships of this world are dream relationships. Just like in a dream, you may have so many relationships. You may imagine Amitabh Bachchan to be your best friend, Sachin Tendulkar to be your classmate. You may imagine so many things. But when you wake up, you know, oh, it's all dream relationship. It's not true. It's false. So similarly, just as all these relationships of this world will come to an end, this dream will come to an end when you wake up from your dream, similarly, whatever relationships we have now in life, they will also come to an end when we die. So one is a subtle dream and one is a gross dream. But a dream is a dream. So therefore, one who is under the spell of the magic of the three modes of material nature becomes bewildered. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manate nartham tatkritam chabhipadyate. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained, yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. The atma comes under the spell of sattva-guna, rajagun, tamagun. And although he is superior to matter, but he considers himself to be a product of matter. This is the wonder, this is the miracle of this dream. Therefore, this is the answer to the question that if the jiva or the soul is separate from matter, why does he identify? Because of this bewilderment. Sometimes a man is haunted by a ghost, and then he starts thinking that he is a ghost, and nothing you say will convince him otherwise. Just like an intoxicated man is incapable of understanding your good instructions. You know, very patiently, nicely, kindly, lovingly explain to him, "My dear friend, you should not do this, it is not proper." He will not be able to appreciate. So the man who is haunted by a ghost and who thinks he is a ghost, he can never really understand when he is told 100 times that he is not a ghost. So similarly, Lord Krishna is advising here that if someone is a detached worker, is in ignorance, don't disturb him. He is not going to understand. If you are simply going to tell him, "You are the pure soul, you have nothing to do with matter, you are under the spell of material nature," for someone who is absorbed in materialistic activities of sense gratification, he can never understand. He can never appreciate your statements. In this world, such people are very lazy for spiritual activities, very active for material life. If you ask them for some cinema, immediately everyone's ready. But satsang, no, so many reasons are there not to come. So this laziness in spiritual life is responsible for the tragedy of the whole world. People are depriving themselves of the greatest nectar and happiness of life. One time there was a king, and you know, sometimes kings have the strangest of whims and fancies. Whatever the king likes, his desire should be fulfilled. So one time this king had the desire to see who is the laziest person in the world, in his kingdom. So how to identify who is the laziest person? So on the advice of some ministers, they put an advertisement in the newspaper. "Whoever is the laziest person in my kingdom, please come and report, and you shall be given a reward." Now, who will not like to apply for this? So naturally, they were all flooded with applications. Many, many people came there. And he had erected a huge pandal, and he had fed all these applicants for the post of most lazy person in the kingdom. So all these lazy persons were eating, and each one was trying to show that he is more lazy than the next. And then the king said, "How to test who is the laziest or who is play acting?" So then, as they were taking their meals, and they had finished, and all of them, because they were lazy, so they all lay down under the pandal, they were lying down, taking their post-meal siesta. And the king had the pandal lit on fire from one side. The moment most of them, all of them saw this fire, they all ran for their life. They became very active. They forgot their laziness. But there were two men who were lying down and who were the laziest of the lot. They refused to move. And as they were lying down, and the king was watching from the other side, and the fire was approaching, and this man, he turned around. And he said, "What happened?" The other person asked him, "What happened?" He said, "Oh, the fire is hot on my back, so I'm turning so that now the fire will be on this side, so that at least my back is relieved." So he was giving turns to his body so that one side of the body would not get too heated. He was too lazy to get up and move. So the king understood that definitely this person gets the gold medal for laziness. So like that, we have so many fires in our material life. One after the other, problems, miseries afflict us in our life. Relentlessly they assault us. But still we are lazy. We say, "Oh, this one problem, let me try some temporary solution, some patchwork solution, some material response or reaction to that problem. And for the time being, it's okay." But the fire has not been doused. The fire, blazing fire of material existence is blazing all around us. It is going to attack us again and again. But like that man, we say, "No, no, now this is too troublesome, I will change my position. I will do some little adjustment with material nature and solve my problem. But it is not possible. No amount of adjustment with material nature can actually solve our problems. The problems of birth, death, old age and disease will remain. In Kali Yuga especially, people have this mentality. Therefore, it was predicted long ago in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prayanalpayushah sabhya kalauvasmin yugejanah mandah sumandamatayo mandabhagyahi upadrutah. In Kali Yuga, people will be of very short lifespan. Prayana alpa ayushah. And in this age, people will be mandah, lazy. Lazy for spiritual activities. Sumandamatayo, they will be misguided. Because they have no proper understanding, they don't have knowledge. And they are taking guidance from those who are also misguided. So they are becoming misguided. Mandabhagya, unfortunate. People in this world are always unfortunate. Every day we see in the life of people, unfortunate things happening. And nowadays we see misfortune everywhere. Everybody is struggling. There is no water, the economy is down, so many social problems, emotional problems, mental problems, financial problems, everywhere there is misfortune. Kali Yuga is an ocean of misfortune. Come what may, nothing seems to work for people. Why? Why does it not work? Because they are only interested in shifting their body from the back to the chest. When the heat comes in the chest, show the back. When the heat increases in the back, show the chest. And this way they're just trying to adjust the problems, not understanding that to make a real solution of the problem, we have to surrender to Lord Krishna and serve Him with love and devotion. So here Lord Krishna is explaining that we should not unnecessarily try to instruct a person who is very attached to his work. We should try to engage him at best in some positive activity which he is inclined to do. But Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice purport here. He says that men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. So many times, it is my personal experience, when you travel in train, etc., there are many people who want to come and talk and discuss. Swamiji, Panditji, thisji, thatji, they will come and ask so many questions. And just by looking, one understands whether this person is a serious candidate or not. And most of them, they just want to pass their time in the journey. So then one has to understand whether one's time is utilized properly or not. Because time is energy, Krishna's energy, and it must be utilized properly. For a devotee, if another person is asking sincerely about spiritual life, he can spend any amount of time, whole night if required. But if somebody is not serious, no point in wasting time. It is like pouring water on a duck's back. Have you tried pouring water on a duck's back? What happens? The water pours out immediately. Nothing remains. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad makes a very interesting statement. Matirna Krishne paratosvatova mitho bhipadyet griha vratanam adanta gobhir vishatanta mishram punah punascharvita charvananam. He says there are some people whose inclinations towards Lord Krishna or to the path of bhakti can never be aroused, either by your telling him or by his own efforts or by combination of both. Mati na Krishne. Krishna mati. Mati means inclination and liking for that particular thing. So Krishna mati means an aptitude or some kind of inclination towards this path. Paratah svatova. Neither by somebody else's instructions or svataha by himself. Mitho bhipadyet, or by combination of both. Why? Because grihe vratana, because he has taken a vow, vrata. What vow has he taken? Of materialistic life. That this worldly life that I am leading is the best life. It is a life that will give me real happiness. Grihe vratana. Adanta gobhir. And he simply engaged in activities of sense gratification. Therefore, vishatam tamishram. He is headed towards a hellish condition of life. And what are his activities? Punaha punas charvita charvananam. What is the sense gratification of this worldly pleasure? It is simply chewing the chewed. You know the sugar cane, when it is crushed, the juice comes out. And once you drink the juice, then what can be done of that? The cane. Okay, the sugar cane man again will fold it, he will crush it, again he will put it through the machine. He will do it twice, thrice. But after that, there is nothing left in it. But if you take that refuse and start chewing it again and again, what kind of juice will you get? Nothing. There is nothing left in it. So similarly, we are trying to extract juice of happiness from sense enjoyment in this world, from worldly pleasures, from sense objects. And we have been doing it for billions of lives, life after life. Same business is going on. In cat's body, dog's body, animal's body, demigod's body, human's body, insect's body, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Ahara nidra bhaya maithanam cha. This is going on. And we are trying to extract pleasure from these activities in all species, in all our births, in all our lives. Chewing the chewed. It is not that whatever worldly pleasure people are experiencing in life now, and for which they are struggling so much, it is not that it is the first time they are experiencing. They have been experiencing for billions of lives. So this is called chewing the chewed. There is no taste left in it. But still they go on stubbornly chewing that. The same so-called enjoyment again and again and again. So this Krishna Mati is very, very important. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Lord Krishna himself, who advented 500 years ago, he would bless people by saying, not Chiranjeevi Bhava or Ayushman Bhava, as is the common custom. He knew that simply living long is not something very creditable. But he blessed them, Krishne Matir Rahu, Krishne Matirastu. May you develop inclination for serving Lord Krishna. That was the real blessing he gave. So somehow or other we have to arouse that Krishna Mati. And Krishna Mati comes by avoiding the association of people who say, Mat Krishna, Krishna mat aao, mere paas, don't come. And coming to people who say, yes, Krishna Mati, please come. By associating with devotees and avoiding the association of non-devotees, we can develop this Krishna Mati. Prabhupada goes on in his purport to give another very interesting point. So he has said, the Lord advises us not to waste time talking to people who are ignorant. But what does Prabhupada say in addition to that? But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord. What a beautiful statement. If you think God is merciful, the devotees of God are more merciful than God himself. Because they understand the purpose of the Lord. They know the heart of Lord Krishna. What does he really want? Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. So therefore, Prabhupada makes the point here. Yes, Krishna is saying that do not go to those who are attached and needlessly waste your time. But Prabhupada says devotees are more concerned about the welfare of people than the Lord himself because they are more kind, because they understand what the Lord really wants. At the same time, we should distinguish two kinds of ignorant people. One first class of persons who are ignorant are those who are envious by nature. And the second class of people who are ignorant are those who are innocent. the envious people will never appreciate whatever you say. But basically by nature, they have no attraction. And being envious, they are denied access to this knowledge. Because in the Gita, Lord Krishna has already declared, Pravakshami Anusuyave. I am speaking this knowledge to you, O Arjuna, because you are Anusuya. You have the quality of non-enviousness. Asuya means envy. Anusuya means non-enviousness. Because Arjuna was not envious. Therefore, this most confidential knowledge was given to him. Idam te guhyatamam pravakshami anusuyave. Jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatma mokshase ashubhat. So this jnana vijnana of Krishna consciousness could easily be understood by Arjuna just by hearing one time. But envious people know it's very difficult. What will they do? They will simply blaspheme. They will criticize. They will criticize Krishna. They will criticize devotees. They will criticize Gita. They will have all kinds of explanations, concocted explanations, and so on. So therefore, it is advised by the acharyas that although the devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord Himself, and they preach to the ignorant people who are attached to the fruits of their activities, but still they avoid envious people. Why? Because such envious people will have a damaging effect on the devotee's own faith and on his or her own progress in Krishna consciousness. And many times we see this happening with devotees. Because of kusanga, asatsanga, a devotee who has just come in, he is moving well on the path, somehow because of some old friends or relatives or this or that, who are very envious, they overpower him. Because their envy and their faith in material nature, in the worldly way of sinful life, is stronger than this devotee's tender faith in Krishna consciousness, because he is just beginning. So therefore, devotees must avoid people who are envious. But the other class of people are those who are ignorant. They don't know what is Bhagavad Gita, what about Lord Krishna, about the path of devotion. But they are innocent. If you tell them, explain, they'll be eager to know. They want to know. So such people we should not avoid. Even though they may not be so-called devotees, even though they may appear to not have any spiritual inclinations, but if by some good instructions, you are able to arouse that little bit of Shraddha or faith in them, and they are not envious, then devotee should spend time. But for us, sometimes it is difficult to understand. And therefore, we have open classes and so on, and we don't know what kind of people are coming, who is of what mentality, when we go outside and have programs. In the temple, of course, it is only the faithful who come. But many times outside, we have people of different mentalities who come. Some people come only to challenge, some people come to defeat, some people come with different motives. So therefore the devotee sometimes is cautious. In the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see the story of deliverance of two very great sinners called Jagai and Madhai. And they were so great in performing sins that the assistant of Yamaraj Chitragupta, he was getting very anxious of how to keep up, noting down the sins of these two persons. They had been born in Brahmin families, but they had totally given up the culture of their upbringing. And they were alcoholics, they were meat eaters, they were all kinds of sinful activities were performed by them. There was only one kind of sin they had not performed so far. And that was that they had not blasphemed or criticized any devotees of the Lord. Vaishnav aparad, this is one thing they had not done. Now, this is considered to be one of the greatest offenses one can do, to offend the devotees of the Lord. One must always look on with love and respect to devotees of the Lord, even if they appear to have some defects. It may be that they have defects. Maybe someone's nature is not so nice. Some devotee may have a sharp tongue, somebody may have a little this or a little that. But simply because they are devotees, by following the process of Krishna consciousness, they will become purified gradually. So one must never make judgments about devotees. One must learn to live with them, whatever be their particular natures, and adjust with them with love and affection, understanding that they are all Lord Krishna's gift to us. Because without the association of devotees, we can never make advancement in spiritual life. So in this way we see that Jagai and Madhai, they had not done this one thing. And the reason was very simple. They had never met a devotee. Because the circles in which they moved was not at all spiritual. So they never had a chance to meet a devotee. So where is the question of offending a devotee? So they were fortunate, at least in that respect. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his two very dear confidential associates called Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu that you should go out every day, go home to home, person to person, fold your hands and request them to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna and become devotees. And come back in the evening every day and report to me what has happened. So two of them would dutifully go out every day. And then one day they came across Jagai and Madhai and they saw these two were in a drunken stupor and creating total havoc everywhere. And people were running helter-skelter out of fear for them. They would burn people's houses and they would destroy everything. And they were very strongly built. So everybody was really afraid of them. And Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu actually went up to them and requested them, "My dear brothers, please chant the holy name of Lord Krishna." And being in an intoxicated state, they became very angry and started chasing them. And these two ran back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "See, we followed your instructions and now see what has happened. These people are after our life." And finally they went back some other day, they again met them. And this time, Madhai, he actually hit Nityananda Prabhu on the head with his pot of liquor. He had a mud pot from which he was drinking his liquor. And out of anger, he hit him on the head. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became greatly angry. And he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra to kill Madhai. But Nityananda Prabhu, acting as a devotee, who is more merciful than God, he begged for forgiveness for Madhai. And he said, "My dear Lord, you are Lord Krishna himself, who has descended in this Kali Yuga, simply to destroy the demoniac propensities of people in the heart, not to kill their bodies. You have come to kill the demons within their hearts, not the demons themselves. Because if you were to kill the bodies of the demons, you would have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. So therefore, please forgive him." And the Lord can never refuse the request of his devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed upon these two the highest gift of Krishna prema, pure love of Lord Krishna. And these two became very, very exalted devotees. So this is the miracle of following the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. That same potency to transform people who have all kinds of bad habits into saints is very much available today, simply by following the Sankirtan movement, which consists of chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So therefore, having said this, where Lord Krishna has so far described Nishkama Karma Yoga, detached work, now Lord Krishna will come to a slightly higher platform. Now he will actually start talking about bhakti. There are various stages of spiritual development. And when it comes to bhakti, after having talked about Sakam Karma Yoga, and then he comes to Karma Kanda, then Sakam Karma Yoga, and then Nishkama Karma Yoga, and now he is coming to bhakti. And that is in text 30. So we will all chant together text number 30. Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa निराशीर निर्ममो भूत्वा युध्यस्व विगत ज्वरः Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. So we may say, well, what has this got to do with bhakti? He is simply asking him to fight. He is not simply asking him to fight. Fight, yes, but how? In what consciousness? That is the important point. If to fight was the only thing that Lord Krishna wanted to tell Arjuna, all he had to say was, Arjuna, fight, and Bhagavad Gita would be over. Fight because I am saying so, matter is finished in one shloka. But why so many shlokas? Why 700 shlokas? Because Krishna wants to tell Arjuna in what consciousness, with what mentality, in what mood to fight, and for what purpose to fight. Now, Arjuna being a Kshatriya, his prescribed duty was to fight. So when Krishna uses the word Yudhyasva here, for us we should take it to mean our prescribed duties, whatever it may be in our respective status and position in life. So first thing that Krishna says, perform your prescribed duty. But while doing so, what should you do? Mahi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Always offer, renounce the fruits of your actions for me. Perform your activities for me. Tasma sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. He said, my dear Arjuna, perform your battle, your duty of doing battle. But always remember me, always think of me 24 hours a day. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara. Go on thinking about me while performing your prescribed duty. So the fruits of the action should be offered to Krishna. The activity itself should be done as an offering to Krishna. That is how we should perform our prescribed duty. And the second thing he says here is, Adhyatma Chetasa, which means one who is totally in spiritual consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, who is acting solely dependent on the Supreme Lord, who is not thinking in material terms about his own strength, his own intelligence, his own bank balance and so on. He has no personal consideration. Being completely dependent on Lord Krishna, he is acting in life. This is Adhyatma Chetasa. Then Nirashir. Nirashir means to not have any kind of desire for profit. One should simply act because Lord Krishna wants us to act in this way. Just like Arjuna, it was his duty to fight on the order of Lord Krishna, as if Lord Krishna were his commander and he were a soldier. So similarly, we are all Lord Krishna's soldiers. Lord Krishna is our commander. And we have to fight, or in other words, follow his instructions, because he is asking us to do. We should not consider personal loss or gain, profit or loss in this. Nirashihi, no desire of one's personal improvement. The next thing Krishna says here is nirmamaha. Without sense of ownership, one should not falsely claim proprietorship over the things that actually belong to Lord Krishna. Nir mama. Mama means mine. Nir means not mine. See, this I, me and mine, janasya moho yam aham mama iti, this is the greatest binding force here in this world. So we should give up this idea that things are mine. When you develop a sense of proprietorship over something, then what follows? The sense of enjoyership. Then you want to enjoy it, because you think it is yours. If it is somebody else's property, then you understand, I have no right to enjoy it. Still we do sometimes, But generally, in a civilized society, people at least have this understanding. It belongs to someone else, so I should not enjoy. But we are not basically enjoyers. Our position is we are eternally servant of Krishna. Krishna is the only enjoyer. Bhoktaram yajyatapasam sarvalokam maheshwaram suhritam sarvabhutanam yatma mam shantim richati. This is the peace formula. In chapter 5, text 29, Lord Krishna gives the peace formula. People are striving for peace all over the world, isn't it? United Nations, this committee, this peace committee, that committee. But peace can never come. Peace can come when we follow this formula by understanding that the only true enjoyer of everything, including the sacrifices, austerities, efforts that we do, is Lord Krishna. He is our real and only friend and well-wisher. He is the real proprietor of everything, including my money, my car, my bank balance, and my house and family. Everything belongs to Him. If we are convinced of this, then peace can dawn. Otherwise, not. So when a society exists, or consists of people thinking everything is God's property, and we should use it for God's service, because He is the only enjoyer, the supreme enjoyer, and we are meant to be enjoyed. We are only meant to be used by Lord Krishna for His enjoyment. That is the mentality of the devotee. But when the mentality gets corrupted, then what happens? Then we try to enjoy. Instead of trying to give enjoyment to Krishna, we try to enjoy this world. And therefore we have to suffer. Purushah prakriti sthohi bhunkte prakriti jair guner karanam guna sangosya sat asat yoni janmasu. Lord Krishna explains, purushah prakriti sthohi, being situated in prakriti, when the jiva wants to be purushah, he wants to be enjoyer, then what happens eventually? Sad asad yoni janmasu. He has to take birth in so many different species of life. So we are trapped in the cycle of birth and death simply because we have this false sense of enjoyership. And this enjoyership is there because we think we are proprietor. This is mine. My money, therefore I can enjoy it the way I like. So Krishna says, when you perform your prescribed duties, you have to be nirmamaha, understanding at best that you are a trustee of Lord's property, nothing else. And therefore, just as an honest trustee discharges his activities very nicely, similarly, we must also discharge our activities very nicely. Just like a cashier in a bank or in a company, he may count lakhs of rupees every day, but he is not entitled to take even one paisa for himself in his pocket. So similarly, we may be dealing with lots of money or so many things in this world, but we should know fully well everything belongs to Lord Krishna and therefore it must be used only for Him. So someone may say, well, we are basically seeking happiness. Every living being is by nature seeking happiness. And if you're only going to work to give happiness to someone else, and that too Lord Krishna, what's the fun? Where is our happiness? The answer is that is the only way you can get happiness. By no other way can you be happy. The paradox is that the more you try to forego your own happiness and give happiness to Lord Krishna, God, the more you become happy. But the more you try to become happy, try to become a false enjoyer, a duplicate God, the more you suffer. So therefore Lord Krishna says, nirmamaha. And if this instruction of Lord Krishna is given in this verse seems to be very difficult to follow, then what does Lord Krishna say? Okay, try if you can, but if you can't do, it's alright. Does he say that? No. He says, vigata jvaraha. Jvaraham is a kind of fever, a kind of fever of laziness. Or if something is too difficult, oh, give it up, don't do it. Take the easy way out, avoid it. Avoid something because it's difficult. But something being difficult or easy is not the question, is not the deciding factor for us to act or not to act. The important thing is whether it is good and whether it is correct for us to do it. That is the important thing. If it is for our welfare, if it is for our ultimate real good, shreyas, then we should do it regardless of whether it is difficult or easy. So Lord Krishna says, I am saying so many things. Nirashi, nirmamaha, adhyatma chetasaha, mai sarvani karmani sanyasya. I am saying all these things. But don't think I am giving you an option, Lord Krishna is saying, that you can just give it up if you find it difficult. He says, vigata jvaraha, give up this laziness, give up this reluctance to follow my instructions. And follow sincerely, be a faithful follower. And then you will experience, what will you experience? That, he says, in the next verse. So let us see what fruit we will get if we follow sincerely what Lord Krishna has outlined in text 30. Text 31.
Yeme matamidam nityam anutishthanti manavaha saddhavanto nasuyanto mucyante tepi karmabhihi.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. So here is the fruit of following Lord Krishna's instructions. You become free from all bondage. You attain real freedom. The paradox. What is the paradox? To attain real freedom, now you have to give up your freedom. Does it sound funny? When you follow Lord Krishna's instructions, he places so many restrictions on us. Do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. He is curtailing our freedom. So when you think, I want to be free, and Lord Krishna is simply curtailing that freedom. But when we resist Lord Krishna's restrictions on us, then instead of becoming more free, we become more bound. We lose our freedom more and more and go to lower species of life because of bad karma. Maybe getting a body like a tree. Chara, achara, there are two kinds of living beings, moving, non-moving. The living beings at least have some freedom. At least we have freedom of movement. But a tree has no freedom of movement even. So the freedom there is completely taken away. He has to stand there in the heat, in the cold, in the wind, in the sunshine, snowfall, rainfall. Freedom completely taken away. But if we voluntarily accept this restriction on our freedom according to Lord Krishna's desire, then the result will be real freedom, complete freedom. So please remember this one point, that if you want real freedom in life, then give up your freedom according to the instructions of Lord Krishna. If you want to be really happy, then give up the struggle to become happy independent of Krishna. Simply try to make Krishna happy, then you can be happy. This is a formula for sure 100% success, guaranteed. And Srila Prabhupada makes some very encouraging remarks here. He says, an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, because one is not able to, one is very new, one is not accustomed to the path. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. That means, if someone is not able to follow the restrictions and rules and regulations that Lord Krishna places on us, but that person sincerely wants to, but is incapable because of his past conditioning, but he has faith in Lord Krishna's instructions, he wants to follow, he wants to become a nice devotee very sincerely. Simply by that sincere desire, that strong faith in Lord Krishna and his instructions, he will eventually become successful. On the other hand, Prabhupada says, there are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. So great scholars, great philosophers write many books and treatises but no faith. So what happens when there is no faith and no love? No freedom. So you have to be bound again and again. Ashraddhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. For those who are ashraddhalu, who are faithless on this path of devotion to the Lord, Lord Krishna himself says, mrityu samsara vartmani. They have to come back on this path of birth and death. And they will never attain me, Lord Krishna says. So, we have to try to come in the association of devotees and develop this strong faith and this determination to follow Lord Krishna's instructions. And when we read these wonderful books written by Srila Prabhupada and we hear from the devotees, discuss with them, we understand what Lord Krishna wants. And we get the intelligence and strength to follow his instructions. And then we make progress towards the ultimate attainment of pure love of God, which is our ultimate goal of life. We will stop here, and next Saturday we will continue of what happens if somebody does not follow the instructions of Lord Krishna. So there will be darshan now, and immediately after darshan we will have question answers and then Mahaprasad. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.